do a trip report so that you know what has happened. Many of you have followed along on Facebook while I was traveling. Try to post pictures, but try to post at least a little bit about what was going on. I did have a little bit of technical difficulties while doing so. Get that set up properly. That made it a little bit difficult to write as often as I wanted to. But I wanted you to at least know what was going on and what I found overseas. If you would take your Bibles, though, for a moment. And we'll go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and starting with verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is something that we have to understand and grasp as far as the teaching of the gospel. A lot of times we focus on our area, which we need to. We need to talk about the fact that the gospel needs to be taught in Omaha, in this region, so that the church can grow. It's a fact. But the thing is that this is not the only place in the world. And it needs to be spread. One of the things that's been helpful is that we had a website that took off, and we got basically an audience of people who are reading it from around the world, literally. And so there's extreme interest. There's a lot of things being impacted because of that. Not that, you know, I ever set out to do something like that, but it's just how it's happening to work out. I went to Singapore. The reason for it is because there was a young man, a college student, who I've been studying with for about a year and a half, 2 years now, probably about 2 years. We study usually every Monday night by Skype, and been talking with him. He originally found me let's see if I can get this thing to work. Due to the website was the original one. He's from Singapore. Well, he's actually not from Singapore. He's from China. He is attending a university in Singapore. So that you got some idea what we're talking about as far as when we say Singapore. Singapore is everything that's in the lighter color on this chart. It is mostly one island with a bunch of little islands off to the side. The little islands, for the most part, except for Sentosa down here at the bottom, most of them are not being used. Sentosa is actually their Disneyland form of entertainment. That's what it's mostly for. But the rest of it is just basically one island. The maps don't give you a good idea of scale. We're not talking about a huge island. It's fairly small. It's 276 square miles. So it's not that big. It's roughly about 20 miles, 25 miles across, maybe about 15 miles north to south. It's not that big. You can take a train and get anywhere in Singapore within an hour and a half with all its stops. You know, we're not talking about biggest of size. The attitude is, size is reflected in the natives there. The idea of going somewhere 20 or 30 minutes is like us talking about going to Alabama or Kentucky. I mean, it's way out of your way. An hour is just impossible long, type of thing. But you can get anywhere in Singapore in under 2 hours. In fact, I teased them about it because there was one time they asked me to meet at a place that was called Great World City. And they said, oh, you got to go up a couple blocks, grab a bus, take the bus, so many stops, get off, and then walk a couple more blocks, and you're there. And so they have this nice map thing, and I looked it up, and I realized, wait a minute, the very first day I got there, I walked within a block of the place. It's only a 25-minute walk. I walked to the building here and back in that amount of time. It's faster to walk than to take the bus. So I walked. And they thought it was that I was crazy. You'd be like, why did you walk that far? It wasn't that far. Okay, so that's the type of place it is. It's very warm. It's very humid. It's totally unlike here in that sense. It stays in the upper 80s during the days. It might drop down to the upper 70s at night. The humidity stays around mid-80s% humidity all year round. That's every day, month of the year. There's no difference. It just stays that way. I think the record low was 68 degrees. The record high is like 92. You know, it's constant. Okay. And the entire country is one big city. That's the other thing that's hard to get used to. The entire island is just one gigantic city. It's like New York City on an island. Well, New York City is on an island. A couple islands, actually. It has a population of about 5 million people, but 2 million of them are foreigners. Commercial center, distribution center. A lot of shipping and things like that. It's the fourth largest financial center. This is what it looks like. This is what my view from the hotel room was like. So this is a piece of it. That's wherever you go in Singapore, it's basically like that. You may or may not see a river, but it's just block after block after block of nothing but high-rises through that entire place. Population density is 7,670 people per square mile. To give you a comparison, Omaha is 3,218. So over the density of people. Everybody lives in high-rise apartments. That's just where you live. I found one section out towards the airport where they might have homes that would kind of look like here, but obviously were multi-dwelling homes. But otherwise, it's tall, huge, skyscraper type. It's a very population that's very rich. Like I said, it's the fourth largest financial center in the world. It's a top five of the busiest ports in the world. So it's basically a merchant city. The population, one out of every six people is a millionaire. Okay. So it's a very rich country, very cosmopolitan, very clean. I don't know if you can tell it from the pictures or not. You don't see trash. You see people out there every day sweeping up all the trash. Even the leaves. Went by one place and they were going up and they're trimming all the dead leaves off the trees. I mean, it's a very, very neat, very clean country. They speak four languages there. English is the main language because it used to be a British colony. But it also, they speak Mandarin Chinese, Malaysian, and Tamil is the other language that's there. And so everything is posted in four languages. All the announcements are done in four languages. So when you go on the subway, you hear every stop announced goes through English and all four languages. You see the signs that way as well. It's probably the most diverse country I've ever seen. That there's the number of ethnic groups in that one little country is huge. And for the most part, it's amazing how well they get along. You know, you don't see racial tensions. You just see blends of all sorts of people there. The government is very authoritarian, extremely. Laws are very strictly enforced. Penalties are very severe. But at the same time, it's not oppressive. It's a well-designed country. You don't see or hear much crime. The city runs 24 hours a day, and you don't hear much about crime at all. Every once in a while, you know, somebody will talk about some crime that they read in the paper, but you don't hear much about it. Just to give you an example, I walk all over the city while I was there. I only saw two beggars the entire time. Of all the places I walked, two beggars under an underpass, and that was it. The transportation system is very efficient. Noise is quiet. That was what really got me. I've been in New York City. I've worked there for like 3 months. It's totally unlike New York City. It's quiet. You don't hear people shouting. You don't hear horns honking. I remember the first time I got startled was at the first day. A horn actually honked. You know, you just don't hear it. The traffic for that city is relatively light because car ownership is very difficult. You have to pay a fee in order just to have the privilege of buying a car. The fee is more than what a car would cost. So the people do own cars, but there are just not a whole lot of them out there. And that's why most of the streets and stuff like beautiful sidewalks. There are sidewalks everywhere. You can walk everywhere. So that's the type of town that we're talking about, city that we're talking about. This is the church that's there. I found an old one. This is from 2013. I didn't get a picture of the group, but most of the people, except for the couple in the back, and that's Al Malone, who's also visits there quite often. But other than those folks, everybody else was there when I was there. It's a congregation of about 15, 20 people when everybody's there. Singapore has about a half dozen liberal churches in town. Northwest, which is the name of this particular group, was started by several families who were tired of the infighting and the changes that were going on. There was constantly push for new innovations. And they just plain got tired of it and said, we're doing formed another church. And they basically formed the core, but because of their past, they don't like controversy. They don't like change. Okay. They're very, 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 very tradition-minded. But they're also about the only church in Singapore that'll welcome conservative brethren. They don't consider, by the way, if you say that they're conservative, they will refuse that. No, we're not. As far as the majority of the group. But the influence of the brethren that have been there have dampened down a lot of their practices. So they don't go for, like most of the churches in Singapore will bring in coffee and donuts and other food while the meeting's going on. They'll eat in services. In Northwest, they don't. Because of the conservative brethren. They're respectful in that way. So because of the influences of that, a lot of that type of stuff is stopped. For the most part, the church is, you know, pretty sound. It's not real strong because they haven't had there's no located preacher. There's no one that's teaching a lot. And the stuff that's going on, from what I've been told in the liberal churches, is a lot of fluff. And so that's where most of these people come from. So they haven't had a lot of deep Bible knowledge other than what has happened is because of Singapore's locations, we got a lot of preachers going through Singapore and on the way to places like Vietnam, Cambodia, and other places like that. Al, for instance, the one that's back here, he's been instrumental in getting churches started in Vietnam. He's now been blocked out of Vietnam. Vietnam doesn't like that. And he's literally he's no longer allowed in Vietnam. He's tried every trick in the book to get into Vietnam. They got him completely locked out now. So now he goes to Cambodia, because Cambodia is on the border of Vietnam, and the people in Vietnam can go across the border, visit with him, and then go back. So he's still working with the churches in Vietnam, but he's doing it in an indirect route. Singapore becomes the stopping point for distributing. People that go off into China will oftentimes stop at Singapore and then go into China. There was a group also that went down to Indonesia in the past, and again did the same type of thing. There are families, though, who have been in Singapore that's made a good influence on the group. The Purcells, this is a picture from them being there from last year. They're still talking about them. They were there last year, and they still talk about the Bible classes that Aaron held for them, because they were unlike anything they were used to. He's the one who's taught most of the young men how to preach in that congregation. And he was there just for a year, but he made a huge impact on the church. The church meets once a week in a rented room in a YMCA building. The YMCA buildings, by the way, do not look like ours. They are more a resort than they're hotels. They got food courts and everything else, and they rent rooms to area churches. That's what one of the big things they do, because in Singapore, land's premium, and so you just don't own; you rent someplace. And so the YMCAs are the common place where most churches meet at and rent a room for a couple hours. The church only meets on Sunday morning, more conservative brethren, and there's about four of them I would label as more conservative, have taken to holding midweek Bible studies. And they rent a room where at one of the apartment complexes where one of the members lives, Miko lives. And so they hold a midweek Bible study. They try to get into deeper studies and things like that. Most of the other brethren don't come. Even though they're invited, they're open to it. Most of them, they're satisfied with a Sunday morning, and that's it, type of group. When I was there, I was holding Bible studies in the evening. They were renting the room multiple times in a week. One couple came the very first day, and that was it. But otherwise, it was just the same group of four or five people all the way through. But you can see what I did was I basically walked in and said, okay, what do you want to talk about? And the very first one they asked was head covering. And I said, okay, that's not the one I would pick as the first topic. But so we talked about submission. We talked about head covering. They then went into wanting to know about elders, because their church obviously don't have elders. They want to know what it meant to be for an elder, children to be faithful. What does faithful really mean? We got a long discussion about what faithful means. Talked about teachers. There's two men among the conservative group. One does a lot of teaching. One doesn't like to. But we talked about the qualifications of teachers, how to teach, how to be effective in your teaching. Then they got talking. They want the last few days. They want to know about the canon of the Old Testament. They want to know why the Catholics had extra books in their Bible. So we talked about what made the books of the Bible the ones they are, and what's wrong with the extra books in there. So we covered a good amount of territory on a lot of different topics, because they don't usually get this thing. What you got to understand is when most of these congregations that do exist, when they get visiting preachers, the visiting preacher oftentimes will come in, and when he's brand new to a new area, the usual topic is salvation. So you teach your basic lessons on what it means to be a Christian and how to be saved. Well, then you're gone. And somebody else comes in. New area, what do? You talk about salvation. And then you're gone. And so they're not getting much in the way of deeper topics. They're not getting much in the way of meaty type things, and they're dying for it. And that's what I was, like I said, I was quizzed constantly on all these just topics off the top of their heads. Another thing is I spent a good amount of time at the university that was there. The university in Singapore is absolutely huge. It's monstrous. I should look up the student population. It has to be incredible. What they call it, PGP, Prince George Park. That, by the way, that's another thing you find in Singapore. Everybody talks in initials. It felt like IBM again. Everybody talks initials because there's so many languages. It's easier to say the initials of things than to, you know, say it in whatever language it was originally meant for. So this is PGP. It's a nice area. It shows the park, but what it doesn't show is the student buildings. They go on the side here. They go on this side. They're huge. They're easily probably about a mile long, just building after building after building, just packed. And that's the student living quarters. And just by itself. And that's just the main one. It's not the only one on campus. But I did spend a good deal of time there because Ming Wei, who was my contact, that's where he's a graduate student there. He's a math major. And so I spent a good time there. Tuesday was the first day I got to the university. Studied with a young lady named Zhu Ling. She was basically wanting to know the basics of Christianity, what it takes to be saved. And so we studied for, I think, about 4 hours is what we studied. And then she basically said, okay, I'm an idiot, process this, let's stop. Because originally I asked how long she wanted to study. She said, oh, I can go to 11 o'clock tonight. I said, you be careful about what you're asking for. Because I can go to 11 o'clock and then some. But she didn't quite make it that long. We did get to 4 hours. Unfortunately, her schedule was so busy that we didn't get any more studies in. But we did get that in. I do have her Facebook account, so we're exchanging messages. And I'm hoping we can set up a study along with it. Dingxi is a wonderful young lady. She was baptized by Alan back in January. Unfortunately, though, she won't leave the Baptist church she was in. She knows what the truth is, but she has so many friends in the Baptist church, she's reluctant to leave it. So we've been working with her, talking with her, but she is a very impressive young lady. She does know her Bible quite well. Very first thing she wanted to do is she had questions about finances because she had saw a verse in the Proverbs that says don't co-sign a loan. And she said, but I did. Am I in trouble? And so we got into all sorts of things about what various verses out of Proverbs about why it was reasonable and not reasonable. Another day we talked about repentance. What is it? What does repentance really constitute? What does it take to forgive somebody? How do you forgive somebody that you really don't like? Was one of her questions, which was a good question. Somebody you don't trust, how do you forgive them? She was of the typical idea that you say you forgive and don't deal with them anymore. I said, well, that's not really forgiveness. That's not what the Bible talks about. So we talked about that in detail and went through a lot of that type of thing. We got off into talking about free will and God's sovereignty in one discussion. I spent a good bit of time with her, not only just informal studies, but also she went with us in a lot of places with Ming Wei, went out to eat, took me places. So we spent a good bit of time, and we talked a lot of little topics, different, you know, when we're standing in line and stuff like that. Another student, Lifu, he's actually Japanese. Ding Shi is Chinese, from the northern part of China. But Lifu is Japanese. And he's studying with another preacher named Ed Brand, though he hasn't been converted yet. He's been studying heavily with Ed. Ed, in fact, is actually there now. He just got there today, Monday in their terms. But he just got there. And so he's been studying with him, but he's been reading through his Bible. And I asked him what he wanted to study about, and he said, I'm getting through 2 Kings, and he said, I'm so confused. I get about 15 chapters into it, and he said, that's it. I'm lost. So we went back through, and we went through basically the survey of 1 and 2 Kings. The next time I got together with him, he wanted to know about Job. So we covered Job in about 2 hours. Then he wanted to know about Psalms. I said, now you're really pushing it. Because he had about an hour, and I said, I don't know if I can cover all Psalms in 1 hour. But we tried. With Ming Wei, basically he was there for most of the studies, listening, learning about teaching. But we did discuss about Hebrew poetry. He got kind of interested in that. And we also talked about how do you take advantage of your opportunities. Like most young new Christians, he has this idealistic view of, you know, hey, go in, get a preacher in. He sits down, 1 hour, the person's ready to be baptized. Okay, we're done, next person. And I said, no, it doesn't go that way. You got to build people up. You got to strengthen them. You got to teach them. And so, you know, if somebody's converted in an hour, that's great. But no, that's not normally the way it's done. And so talking about how do you take advantage of the opportunities you have, how to get a person more and more interested in the scriptures, getting them closer to the truth. So that's what we spent a lot of time with. Went out to meals with the lady here is Lillian. She's a dynamo. She's 83 years old, and she is probably the most active 83-year-old person I've seen in ages. I mean, she is nonstop. She travels the world because there's no sound church in Singapore that she's satisfied with. So she decides, well, the best way to handle that is she just travels. And she visits church all the way around the world. She, by the way, knows the Wilks. She knows my sister-in-law. She's the number of people she's met that I know is just incredible. She just bounces all over the place. But we had discussions about the church, the problems that were there, how to encourage the growth, what the women can do to encourage the growth. And I'm trying to tell her that, you know, you can't do this by running. She lives in Singapore. She visits about 3 or 4 times a year. She kind of comes when other preachers are there, and otherwise she leaves. Like she's going to leave next week after Ed Brand leaves. You know, that's how she handles it, but it's not helping the church much. And so we talked about that. Her knowledge of the scriptures is really good. This is Amiko. She's a younger woman. She's interesting, too. Just to give you a cultural background, her father is Japanese. Her mother's Mexican. She was born in Mexico. She was raised in the United States. She met her husband, who's a Norwegian, and they live in Singapore now. So, I mean, one lady, she got world history by herself. But again, we talked about how to find a preacher, what a preacher would need to live and be effective in Singapore. Singapore is expensive because there is no farms in Singapore. It's just one monstrous city. They import everything. All the goods are imported. It's probably easily, I would say, 150-200% of what it costs in the United States for most things. So we talked about that, you know. most, I asked her how can anybody live here? And she basically said, well, what you do is you get a job at one of the local companies and usually the perks are they give you a place to live, they'll pay for your kids' schooling and all this other stuff just to get people to come. But they usually don't let people stay for more than 2 years. And then you're kicked, and then you're let go from the country. So that's why people come for a year or two and then go. She and her husband, though, have been there for 7 years. They're one of the rare cases. So again, talked about that. Just trying to find somebody. They need an older preacher. They need somebody who knows their Bible well, who can, you know, guide the church and as well as, you know, reaching out. I mean, the university has lots of potential. And so somebody who can be good at, you know, teaching university students, and finding that mix is going to be hard. And somebody who loves to live in the city, which is not me. They did ask me. I said no. It's just not my environment. But just that's, if you know somebody, they need it. Even though if you hear of somebody, they really badly need a good, sound preacher that just stay there. And work with them. And it probably is going to have to be on a period of, say, that's by staying there, I mean like a year or two. And you probably have to get a secular job because there's just no way to afford it. And so, you know, stay there for a year or two and then probably have to move off because won't be able to keep the job. But that's what they're looking for. While I was there, I did preach. Preached on light and dark about the concepts of good and evil. Because of the cultures that they have, the mixture that they have, that, you know, based on the ideas of yin and yang. They talk about religion according to man, the story about Micah, how he started up a false religion, how did it last that long. Went over really, really well. But what needs to be done is, like I said, Lillian flies around the world just to avoid the liberalism so she can find it. She tells me if there would just be a good preacher there, she'd stay. And she gets frustrated. She teaches all around the world, too. She teaches people. They would love to have a sound preacher with sound Bible knowledge. There are three young men in that congregation that are developing really good skills in preaching because of the Purcells. But that depth needs to be encouraged and developed. If they can find even strong Christian families that would just stay there for a while and work with them, that would help them a lot. The university attracts people literally from around Asia, around the world. You get people from Australia all the way up to Mongolia going to that university. And so it's you know, here's a way of getting Christianity taught and then brought back to places like China and other places where you normally can't get into, Vietnam and other places. Normally, you know, trying to teach in Japan is really hard. I was at Singapore and I was teaching a Japanese student. Now, that normally would not be an easy thing to do. I wanted to cover another verse before I switch over to the next stop. And it's Mark 16. Mark 16, and starting with verse 15, it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized will be saved. He who disbelieves shall be condemned." Again, the idea is we got to go to all the world to teach. We have to go where the opportunities are at. One of the places I went to is Bali. Singapore is right here. It's just a tiny island off the tip of Malaysia. Bali, that's a 2.5-hour flight down. There's a little island off of, all of this here is Indonesia. And so Bali is just a little tiny island down on the side. It's bigger than Singapore. It's much larger. It has 10 times the land space Singapore has. Its population is about 4 million. So it has a little less people, but 10 times the land space. But 2 million of them live in an area that's called Denpasar and Kuta. And I was actually in Kuta, is where I was at, for the most part. Landed in Denpasar, but then was down in Kuta. That area is a tourist, basically a tourist town, because all of this, basically from here all the way down here, is all beach. It's a huge strip of beach. And it's very, 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 very popular with the tourists. And so the biggest beach is by Kuta. And so that's what, it's a tourist town. Its density, population density, is roughly the same as Omaha. You can't tell, though, by the streets. It is crazy. The primary religion in Bali is Hindu. 85% of the population is Hindu. This is the entrance to the beach area. I walked through those gates. Found somebody else's picture of it. I didn't think to take a picture of the gate, but I did walk through those gates. So that's to the beach area. This is what the beach looks like. This was one of my pictures, but it just, like I said, just keeps going and going and going as far as you can see, and then you turn the other direction, it just keeps going too. But most of the population is Hindu. Everywhere you look, there's idols. I have never been in a place where they have so many idols and that are actively being worshipped. I was in a restaurant, and it was glassed in walls, and you look outside, and there's an empty lot next to it, and there's an idol in the corner, and I counted at least 4 people that went and offered sacrifices to the idol while we were eating breakfast. You know, it's all over the place. It's in your face. While I was talking to Peter at his work, there was a parade of some Hindus that were going down celebrating something. They didn't know exactly what going on. But, okay, so you have 85% Hindu. You have 13% are Muslims. And you have 1.5% who claim to be Christians. Okay, Christians are by far the minority. Only 1.5%. And if you ask somebody where they go to church, they just say Protestant. They just lump it. It's just Protestant. Best I can tell is a Pentecostal group, but they'll just say Protestant. But that's the type of area you have in there. These are Hindus on some religious parade. I saw them going this way to go someplace, and then they were actually carrying ladies who had been swooned, carrying them back. And I said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Oh, these ladies were demon possessed, and they just had the demons cast out of them." And they're going, "Okay," but anyway, and that's it. The traffic, like I said, oops, as you can see, is heavy, and that's during the parade. People are still driving. What that street here is probably, we would consider a narrow two-lane street. They managed to make that 2 lanes of traffic going both ways, plus motorcycles going on each side, plus in the middle, and weaving in and out all at the same time. And very hard. I don't drive there. The first time we went with a taxi, it was in the middle of the night, and I was biting my tongue. Because I was up front. I was wishing I was in back. I didn't want to see what was going on. They would pass each other, and you look at it and you say, there's only 2-inch clearance. And they pass. And okay. But anyway, the reason why I went there is because of Peter. Peter owns a remote-controlled toy shop in Bali. In Kuta. He owns the only one in Bali, actually. He's a very interesting young man. He and his siblings are orphans. He had to drop out of school at 9th grade to support his family. He worked for his uncle in this toy store for a few years, and then uncle decided to sell the business, so he and his sister bought it. So he's been running the shop for 10 years. He's 28, So in other words, he bought the shop when he was 18. And has been running for 10 years now. Basically self-taught. And he learned about the gospel through our website. Decided to become a Christian. Found somebody who would baptize him because there was no Christians nearby. He basically studied himself into pure Christianity. While I was there, I studied with Peter's sister, his brother Marco. They're also interested, but they're just not excited as Peter is. Peter is very, very interested in it. This is Peter right here. There's Ming Wei. He came down with me from Singapore because he's closer than I am, so he could actually visit. And so he decided to come with me to find out, because I had nothing, I had no clues to what I was going to run into in Bali. But Peter's there is repairing a toy, remote control. And he's really good at it. But, you know, he's got a decent business there. What I was able to do, like I said, Ming Wei, came to there. I was only there for 3 days. And Peter made every use of it possible. He would come about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we would get done about 11 o'clock at night. And it'd be solid study, as best we could. What we did was we would go, this is Peter's sister, Mai. We would go out to eat, have our Bibles, and we would be studying right through meals. Right in the restaurant. Had to work, bring our Bibles, in between customers, we'd be studying. And while he's in there tinkering and trying to repair a thing, he would call out questions and I would answer them. He'd get real interested and stop and go look it up. You know, that type of thing. So we were studying constantly. We did it in a hotel, we went dining. We did Peter's shop whenever we could. I mean, it was nonstop studying. So that's the hotel. We held church services there. That's the only place that we could find. So we held, there were four of us, and we held a service on Sunday morning there. This is one of the places. Peter knows all the really interesting places. This is a chocolatier. But we actually went there. Sunday morning, we studied in the hotel. The clean crew came, so we had to get kicked out. We went to this place. We started studying here. You can see Peter has his laptop, and we started studying there. We studied all the way up to lunchtime, and then Peter said, "Well, we need to move someplace else." And well, why don't we just stay here? And we ate lunch there, and we kept going until 3 o'clock. So we went from 9 to 3 o'clock in that restaurant, and we were packing up at 3. Because we were going to go have service. He had told his friend we would have services at 4. And when we were packing up, restaurant manager came up to me. And I was thinking, oh, great, he's going to complain that we've been sitting at this table for 6 hours, taking up space. And he comes up to me and he says, "Are you Christians?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm a Christian too." I said, "Oh, yeah." And so I said, "Oh, because that's rare in Bali." And he asked me where I was from, and I told him. He said, "I'm from Sri Lanka." And he said, "It's so good to see somebody studying their Bibles." He was thrilled that somebody was actually using his restaurant for a place to study. So I told Peter when he got back to the table, I said, "You got a prospect here." By the way, good chocolate here. Really good chocolate. So some of the things we studied with Peter, we talked about temptation, lust, sin in his nature, because he had some problems with some of his siblings over those type of issues, and he wanted to get deeper into it. We talked about, I wanted to make sure that Peter really understood what it meant to be a Christian, so we went through all the basics about Christianity, from, you know, what's the difference between the Old and New Testament, all the way up to what's the elements of worship. We went through all of that type of stuff. Where did law come from? What's the source of morality? What makes things right and wrong? Why did Judas betray Christ? And we got into predestination. Did he have a choice in the matter? We talked about the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. We talked about how to teach. We talked about what it takes to be a preacher, because Peter is interested in preaching. He knows he's got to. He's got to teach and he's got to preach, because he's the only Christian on the island, period. And so he's got a big, huge chore. Just to give you an idea of what Peter's facing, he decided to be a real Christian. The next nearest church is an hour and a half plane flight. It's in Jakarta. Okay, so it'd be like living here, being the only Christian in Omaha, and the next nearest church is in Chicago. And it's very much equivalent to that. There's just no way to drive it. It'd be about a 24-hour drive. It would have to be a plane flight, and it's an hour and a half plane flight. And so Peter knows he's got a huge amount of work, and he's wanting to do it. He's excited. Talked with his sister Mai. We talked about demon possession. That is a big topic in Bali because of all the Hindus. We talked about prophecy because the Pentecostalism is strong there for the ones that are, they claim to be Christians. She asked me some really deep questions about a lot of phrases and things out of the Bible. I can't remember them all. But she obviously had been reading her Bible, because she was, you know, picking out verses that you not normally say. Now, what does that mean? Why does it say it that way? And so we got some really good discussions. Marco came and studied several times. We got talking about whether children are responsible for their parents' sins. Because from what I gather from the stories, is their father or their grandfather didn't live a very good life. And so they're wondering, okay, the reason why we're having such a struggle is that because grandpa was off, or dad was off. So we got talking about that. We talked about Ezekiel 18. We studied that one in depth from front to back. Why sexual sins are wrong. Why laws protect us. That type of issues. Peter had a friend. I cannot remember his name. I tried. I have to write to Peter and ask him. He also is an orphan. He and his family, father abandoned, his father died and his mother abandoned him, left him in an orphanage. So he's one of eight kids that were just abandoned. And so, again, he was talking about curses. Again, because, you know, is the reason why we're suffering because, you know, grandpa was an adulterer. It was a question. Talking about demon possession, because he has a brother who is not... from his description, his brother has Asperger's, form of autism. They didn't hear about that type of stuff in the backwoods of Java, which is where he's from, and trying to talk about, no, this is not demon possession. This is a known problem. You know, it's something that you can work with. Because he was telling me about it, and I said, oh, then your brother's really smart. Oh, yeah. Oh, and he has trouble with social skills. Oh, yeah. And I'm just listing off all the symptoms of Asperger's. But they label it as demon possession. So we got talking about that type of stuff. We talked in our Sunday worship. We talked about the pagan ideas of God, how God gets corrupted by the various pagan thing. And we went through worship. And every step we did, I went through the scriptures, showed them why it was done this way, what the scripture was being fulfilled, what are we doing this for, you know, explain why we sing, why we took the Lord's Supper, what it was each of the elements represented, why we pray, all those things. We broke it down for them. And I suspect Peter and his friend are going to start the church, if his friend will, because he's close. So that's probably going to happen. What was fascinating to me is afterwards, I just got a note from the church in Singapore. Peter decided that he wanted to see another church. He and his sister flew up to Singapore and is spending a week there. And Ming Wei was telling me all these topics that he's already No, he was pulling everything out, all the way to the airport. They were just firing questions, one right after the other. Deep topics, like, we got to get every last instance out of this guy before he goes. And they were, Ming Wei's been studying with him since then. I said, studying over Skype? He says, no, he's come here. And he spent 2 days studying with him, and now they worshiped at the church. And Ed Brand's showing up today, or Monday from their point of view. So he's showing up Monday, and he's planning to spend 3 days with Ed Brand and studying with him. This man is really, really excited and wants to know the gospel. But like I said, he's got a lot of work in front of him. He needs a lot of encouragement. So if you know anybody who's taking a vacation in Bali, they gotta look him up. If anybody's actually going to Bali for any, I can't imagine, but if you know somebody that's going to Bali, they need to get in hold of Peter. He needs every ounce of encouragement he can get, because he's got a tough thing. We got things, little things, like trying to find songs that are, English is not the main language on that island. Peter's fairly fluent because he owns a shop. But trying to find songs in his own native language. There is a church in Jakarta, but it's, I'm trying to get a hold of it, and the guy who was holding it together had died 2 years ago, I found out. So I don't know what the state of the church in Jakarta is, which is the one that's an hour and a half away. Ming Wei says he can come down and visit, and he'll try to do as much as he can afford it. But we were sitting there calculating out it's going to be about $500 U.S. money for him to fly down and spend a few days and fly back. He's willing to do it if somehow we can get some help him with a little bit of funds, or find somebody that can help him with funds. So I've been already sending out word to people I know. But he's willing to try. So that's why I went there. And that's why what I was doing. Basically there was a couple of hours here and there. I got to go do some walks and stuff like that. That's where the pictures came from. But for the most part, I was spending 2.5 weeks doing nothing but Bible studies, and it was great. It was fun. And got to do a lot of teaching of things that people really badly wanted to know. And it was surprising, the topics. I was so glad I had all my notes with me. Laptops are wonderful things. I would have to bring a filing cabinet if I didn't have that thing. So that's wanted you to let you know. One last passage, and then we'll end for the things. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed, their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And so the gospel gets spread. And a lot of this started simply because we've been putting things up on a website and somebody's been learning from it. And it's amazing what people are learning. So not only, the website's been useful in teaching people, we're getting a church started in Bali. And I'm going to try keeping in contact with Peter. We're going to try somehow setting up Skype or some way so we can keep in contact. But there's going to be needs a lot of encouragement. Got other questions? You know how to find me. But thank you for listening.